Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, we all know the value of reading, and I'm sure it's probably something most parents want to try and instill in their children. But interesting survey from Book Trust in the UK shows a fairly large drop-off in reading once children progress to secondary school. Mary McCarthy's a columnist with the Irish Independent. Mary, do you battle to get your own kids to read?
Hi, Andrea. I'd say I fight about it as much as phones, right?
Oh, really?
And I'm so jealous. Oh, yeah, I do. I'm so jealous when I see friends and they've got bookworm kids. Like, I met a colleague of my husband's the other day, and her 13-year-old was reading a book, The Help. Have you heard of The Help? It's kind of like an adult book, you know, it's not adult contained, but it's like, you know, it's a book I would have read. And I was so jealous. And then I went home and was like, why can't you pick up a book like that? I don't know what to do. I've tried various things along the years. Some things have been actually kind of successful, but then I lose focus on it. So I'm actually now on it again. It's like after doing the research for talking today, I'm kind of getting back in the zone.
What did you try to entice them with, Mary?
Well, with my son, who's nearly 16, I went to a stage of paying him when he was 13.
Bribery.
I said, look, oh yeah, full on.
I would have read a book for money, no bother.
Oh, that's it. Absolutely. But the thing is, it's, you know, we know the research. Our adults know the research. Or if they don't know the research, they have a instinct that reading for pleasure. It is unbelievable the leg up it gives you, Andrea, in everything. It's not just like your educational success, it's actually your well-being, your future well-being. So if you can get your kids reading for pleasure, and like, I am not Mrs. Successful here, I'm doing my best, and it's mixed results. Anyway, I did pay him, right, and that actually worked. It worked,
right,
for a while, and then I stopped paying him because it was too much of a struggle to get him to read it. And then he started babysitting for my sister and making his own money, and said, you know, you can start off with your tenner for the book. So what I did then was I said, look, you can get a book on, I gave him my Kindle and said, we can order whatever you want. So he ordered a couple of books, Travis Scott and Kanye West, he loves them. So he read books about their lives. But now the last year has been a disaster. I don't know what to do. So I'm going to have to think about that. His younger sister, she actually is a really good reader, but she just reads at night in bed. But I'm trying to get her to read more, but it's kind of a losing battle. And then the younger two, I read to them every night. I think if you can build it into your routine, so that's, I read to them every night. But even 10 minutes, Andrea, if you can say, I'll often say to them, okay, you can play Fortnite, but you got to sit there and read for 10 minutes. And they'll give out about it. They'll make a big, you know, hullabaloo. But actually, there's some days, not every day, that they'll end up reading for 20 minutes because they kind of forget. And then there's other days they've literally, what time is it, Manny? What time is it? But, you know, you just have to keep trying, and also to keep books in your bag. So if you find yourself, you know, in the car, whatever, you have a book there for them so you can give it to them. But yeah, I really lament like that I don't have a book room in the house. I wish I did.
Yeah.
It's so beneficial for them, Andrea.
So reading for money worked for a period. How do you know they were reading the book, though?
Because I tell you how, we also went through as a family where we had this reading hour. So we all sat down and we read books. And if you couldn't read, if your attention span wasn't let to read books, you could do Lego or whatever. And we actually did that for about 6 months, and it worked so well. And then life got in the way. Someone had training on a Wednesday, or, you know, the usual got in the way, and it all dissipated. But actually, the money worked. It did take, you did have to sit there with them and watch them. And like, they're not going to pretend to read if you're sitting there. They will read it. And then I also kind of casually quizzed him. I didn't like demand a book review or anything, but I did quiz him. So he did read the books. But yeah, the money worked for a while anyway.
Well, in fairness, you've exhausted, I mean, full credit to you, every avenue to try and get them to sit down and read. Doreena Malloy is with us too, Mary. Doreena's a senior executive librarian based in Castlebar. Are Irish children reading less, Doreena?
I don't know that they are, Andrea, to be honest. I know the Book Trust survey is UK based, so I'd be very wary about taking that as gospel for our own country here. There's a big difference between here and the UK, and that is that in the UK over the past number of years, an awful lot of libraries have been closed down. And a lot of areas have lost their libraries, whereas here in Ireland, there's been more investment in libraries than ever, and we see new libraries opening all the time. So that's one kind of big difference.
It's a good sign, I suppose.
Just point out. And it also in libraries here, we're coming off the back of our Summer Stars reading programme. And just we had a national meeting the other day, and I was on with colleagues from up and down the country. And we all kind of found in our own authorities that the Summer Stars numbers were better than ever. That's where children sign up to read over the summer, and they keep track of their reading, and they're kind of incentivized. They collect a certificate at the end. So the numbers were up. They were better than ever. That's the first thing. The second thing is now we're in the middle of a really exciting kind of month in Irish libraries, which is Children's Book Festival. And we've got authors crisscrossing the country as I speak, visiting libraries all over the country. And there's just the demand is massive to meet them, to come and meet them and listen to them. So from our point of view, it seems very positive. I won't dispute that teenagers are difficult. they are definitely, and teenage boys would be categorised as even more difficult. So I can empathise there with Mary. But I think I was going to suggest actually the reading hour, because I think if you don't model it, if they don't see it, you know, they might.
Yeah,
have
if you're
interest,
not doing
you have tried
it,
that.
Would they?
Exactly. But you have tried that. The only other thing I'd suggest to you perhaps is audiobooks and listening to audiobooks. We have an app now in the library. It's free with your library card and a PIN number. It's called BorrowBox. And you've got a selection of audiobooks for all ages and straight to your device, straight to your phone, your tablet. People are kind of listening to those while they're walking, while they're in the car, so I mean, that's the kind of thing that might, if someone is reluctant to pick up a book, they might like to listen to one.
Would you try the audiobook, Mary?
Yeah, that's a brilliant idea, and actually I hadn't done that, and I will do. And you know, I just want to say the Summer Stars, like, unfortunately we've moved to Belgium, and the one thing I miss so much is the libraries, because we have such, like you were saying there about the UK, like, we are so lucky in Ireland because we put so much investment into our amazing libraries, and the Summer Stars, every summer we used to do it, and that really, like, tracking their progress, like, so they could write it down. You get a little card and you can write down, and once you finished, you filled up the cards with the 10 books or 5 books or whatever it is, you go and you get a prize, and like, they still have all their pencil cases and all that. So like, that tracking your progress, that really, so yeah, Doreen, I 100% agree with you, and I'm going to download the Borrow Books right now the minute I get off the phone. But actually, I think that could work, because they do, and especially the older ones, they go off, like, here everyone gets the public transport on their own, like, once they hit, like, kind of 12. So they go off in the tram to meet their friends. So they actually, I could see them listening on their phone to a book. I could see them doing that, not taking out a book to read it, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but
might be a way to.
Yeah.
What, Sarah Webb, children's author, is with us on the line. What's your advice, Sarah, for parents to encourage their children to keep reading?
Well, just to say, Mary, you're doing an amazing job so far with those teenagers. I think you really couldn't be doing any more. What I have three older readers in my house. They're 18, 21 and 30. And the one thing my 30-year-old loved was the Russell Carroll Kelly books.
Oh, yeah.
Because he knew they were for adults. He knew they were a little bit risque when I gave them to him at about 14, 15. But he just ate them up. And I would 100% agree with Darren that audiobooks are fantastic. Or even podcasts or anything that talks about books and reading and gets words into their head is really good. Sports biographies as well, fantastic for teenagers. But I mean, the good news, I work in a children's bookshop called Halfway Up the Stairs in Greystones, and we have kids so excited to come to the shop today because there are two really, really cool books out today, which are Bunny versus Monkey, The Gigantic Joke Fight, and Bunny versus Monkey, The Great Big Glitch. And there have been children waiting for months and months and months for these
to
new
get
books.
Their hands on them.
Their comic books.
Brilliant.
And they have been ringing and they have been so excited, and they're coming in today. So we had a comic book festival over the weekend, and we had 500 parents and kids coming through the doors of the theatre and the bookshop to meet comic book makers. And I think comic books are a great way to get children into books as well, and to make sure that they have really attractive, fun books. The other great success we have with children who maybe are a little bit more reluctant are sports books. So there's a really good series by Gordon Darcy and Paul Harrod called the Gordon's Game series about Gordon Darcy growing up. And there's football superstars. There's basically a football superstars book for most of the football players. And then things like the Guinness Book of Records. A lot of kids are fact lovers. You know, they don't necessarily want to read fiction. And I find fact books are fabulous. And the new Guinness Book of Records is about to come out.
There you go.
That's another step.
Good way to get children either well, whether it's into reading or back into reading, as Mary said in her case. Children's author Sarah Webb, Doreena Malloy, Mary McCarthy, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.